This is My Daddy Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independent Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Good evening. Once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I am William Cooper. And what's going on here? I think my ears are all stopped up from going up and down in altitude, and it's difficult for me to hear through these headphones, but never fear, I'll get through it. Tonight, we're going to be taking your calls, but first I want to talk about a couple of things. In Iowa, strange things are happening, folks. And not only are strange things happening, but a grossly unlawful and unconstitutional inspection is taking place of the external and internal of everyone's home in Warren County, Iowa. If you live in Warren County, Iowa, you should be contacting the sheriff and everybody else and explaining to them that it's unlawful for them to come and have access to your property without a warrant. They have no right, I don't care what they're doing, without a warrant to search your property. But that's what they're going to do. Warren County Assessor Dave Ellis, that's Warren County, Iowa, is announcing that the preliminary work for the reappraisal program, which was approved by the Conference Board in February, which includes door-to-door inspections of all properties in Warren County, will begin the early part of October 1997. Representatives of Vanguard Appraisal Incorporated, in conjunction with the Warren County Assessor's Office, will be conducting this project. Each Vanguard representative will have a photo ID signed by the assessor. Whoop-dee-doo! Ah, they've even got their Captain Midnight decoder ring. The reappraisal purpose is to equalize property. Want to bet, folks? What they're going to do is they're going to go through and they're going to identify every single gun owner, they're going to identify people who have property that's worth more than what they've been reporting, and they're going to, across the board, raise the taxes on all of the property in Warren County based upon this inspection. You can bet your boots on it, and you can tell everybody in the world, I said so. That's exactly what these socialist, puke-faced, Nazi jackbooted thugs are going to do. Listen to this. Each taxpayer is then responsible for paying only his or her fair share of the property tax burden. Oh, my goodness. They are good with words, aren't they? Periodic inspections and reappraisal of properties are necessary because all properties do not increase or decrease in value at the same rate. Some properties physically deteriorate faster than others, and in many instances, similar buildings located in different areas of the county will differ greatly in value due to economic factors. Data collectors will make interior and exterior inspections of all properties. They will be compiling information to be used to estimate fair market value of each property. Baloney. Information to be collected includes type of construction, type of interior finish, physical condition of the property, age of structures and exterior measurements, a complete sale analysis. Local construction costs and economic conditions are also considered. No estimate of value will be given at the time of inspection. Oh, no. They don't want to get shot while they're on your property. Now, don't shoot them, folks, because chances are the actual inspectors are somebody who's going to be contracted by the county to do it, and they don't even know that they're breaking the law by forcing you to let them on your property and inside all of your buildings to make this inspection. It is a gross, unconstitutional, unlawful infringement upon the people of Warren County, Iowa. And folks, what do you want to bet? What do you want to bet? Well, never mind. Never mind, folks. If you want to bet, go to Las Vegas. Just forget I even said it. And to scare people. See, this is being passed out to all the people in Warren County. And so they're trying to make it sound as benign and as good as possible. Folks, if you don't know somebody and you don't have a reason for them to be on your home, which on your property, on your home, which is beneficial to you, you should never allow anybody on your property or in your home. I don't care who they are, especially not in this day and age. Not in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen. In one county in Illinois, they were having the fire department inspect every building inside and out, and one of their instructions was to identify and report buildings with guns. That's right, folks. And I'll bet you that the assessors who will be going around inspecting the property in Warren County, Iowa, will be given the same instructions. They'll look for guns in the homes and report them. They're trying to identify every gun owner in the nation, ladies and gentlemen, because one of these days, at about 2 or 3 in the morning, there's going to be a loud knock on your door and helicopters all over the place. And they're going to forcibly enter your home and take your guns away from you if you don't voluntarily give them up. It's going on in Australia right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. The data collectors vary their working hours in an attempt to find owners and renters at home. This is done in order for the inspection process to be conducted properly. The data collectors will make 3 attempts to find someone at home. One of the attempts will occur after normal working hours. Property owners are asked to cooperate by allowing a complete inspection of their property and providing accurate information in order for a fair and equitable assessment for each property. Don't do it, folks. Tell them to go fish. Get off your property. Post no trespassing signs, and anyone who trespasses, prosecute them. Don't allow this. Don't ever allow anything like this. This is dangerous stuff. And the conference board of Warren County ordered this. They have no authority to order that. No one in this country, not even the President of the United States, can order it, even under martial law. everybody thinks that the president and the military and everybody has these extraordinary powers. If martial law is declared, not true, folks. The only thing that the government is allowed to do if they declare martial law or there is an emergency situation of some kind is to suspend writ of habeas corpus only while the emergency lasts. If you don't believe me, read your copy of the Constitution. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. I know you don't have one. please excuse me. And I won't do it again, folks. At least not tonight. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? Warren County Conference Board requests the assistance of all property owners to ensure the reappraisal project is completed successfully. The preliminary data collection will begin in Norwalk, Carlisle, and Indianola. The project is scheduled for completion January 1999. Notice of final value estimates will be mailed to each property owner after January 1999. They're going to start in October. My goodness gracious. The property owners will have an opportunity to meet informally to discuss their reevaluation in the spring of 1999. What do you want to bet that by the spring of 1999, everybody will have forgotten that they're supposed to have an opportunity to meet to discuss their reevaluation? I bet the subject won't even come up. The new assessments will be effective for January 1st, 1999, taxes payable in fiscal 2000-2001. All, listen to this. This is to scare everybody into conformity. Because this makes people think that what they're doing is lawful. This is what's known as operating under the color of law. It is it's just a blatant BS lie. It says, all law enforcement agencies, as well as the Warren County Assessor's Office, will be apprised of the areas where data collectors are working. They will also have a listing of all names and license plate numbers of anyone involved in the project. If any property owner has questions, you know, everybody listening to this broadcast should call this number and tell them that this is unlawful, unconstitutional. It is a blatant affront against the freedom and the guaranteed rights of the American people. Call this number. It says, if any property owner has questions regarding the reappraisal project, they are urged to contact the Warren County Assessor's Office at, write this down, ladies and gentlemen, run around. And get your pen and paper that you should have had when this broadcast started. Remember, you should never even listen to this broadcast without pen and paper. Ever. You do yourself a great injustice by not writing down the information that I give you. Contact the Warren County Assessor's Office at 515-961-1010. That's 515-961-1010. Once again, 515-961-1010. Tell them what you think of this. Blatant Nazi jackbooted thug tactic. And you know what, folks? If you really owned your property, they couldn't tax it. You know what a tax on property is? It's a rental payment to the true owner. And that is the truth. That's why when you pay off your house, you don't get a patent title to the land or the house. You get a warranty deed. You know what a warranty deed is, ladies and gentlemen? It warrants that a deed or a patent title exists, but you don't have it because you don't own the property. The state has it because the state owns the property because you never paid for it in lawful money. What is lawful money? Look it up in the United States Code. Look it up in the law. It's about time you did something for yourself, don't you think? It's true, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't believe me, get a copy of Black's Law Dictionary or any law dictionary that you wish and look up the definition of warranty deed. Look up the definition of deed. Look up the definition of warranty. And remember, these are legal terms. You must look them up in a law dictionary. What you get out of your collegiate dictionary or your Webster's dictionary means nothing in a court of law. Nothing whatsoever. When you walk into court, the meanings of all these terms change dramatically. So you have to know what the legal definition is. Do it. It will certainly open your eyes. Why do you think when you pay off your automobile or your truck or your bus, why do you think you don't get the title to that automobile, truck, or bus? You get a certificate of title. It's because you don't own it. That's why you have to register it every year. That's why you have to pay license fees. That's why you have to pay taxes on the vehicle. Because you don't own it. The state does. We've gone over that many, many times on this broadcast. We've proven it in the law, and so have many other people. This happens to be the truth. You know, before I went to Area 51, somebody sent me an article on the Guidestones in Georgia. Well, I'd known about them for quite some time and had a little bit of information, but not the information that was sent to me. And so I was going to do an article on the Guidestones in Georgia for this coming issue of Veritas newspaper, which is almost finished, folks. And I needed photographs. I had no photographs of the Guidestones, didn't know where to get them, but I was going to write to the Chamber of Commerce in Georgia and see if they could help me out. And remember I told you in the past, folks, whenever I need something, it just magically appears? It's like magic. I don't even tell anybody that I need it. It just appears right in front of me as if somebody waved a wand. And remember, that's what I told you is the consequence if what you're doing is right and good. Things just show up as if through some supreme divine dictate. And I think that's exactly what it is. I think God helps those who help themselves, and I think God takes care of those who are doing good and doing right. And so when I went to Area 51 on Saturday, we went in and set out, and we were getting ready to watch a videotape of that I made back in 1991. And lo and behold, one of the people who came on the trip asked me if I wanted photographs of the Georgia Guidestones. And, of course, I said yes. But this is just another example. And I'm doing this article right now. Guess what shows up in today's mail, ladies and gentlemen? A copy of the official magazine of the Worldwide Rosicrucian Order. That's right. And in it is an article on page 24 called The Georgia Guidestones, Mysterious Monument with a Vital Message for Humanity. It's from the Rosicrucian Digest, number 2, 1994. So you see, folks, this always happens with me. Whenever I need something, if I'm doing good or I'm doing right, it just shows up. It shows up exactly when I need it. Not 6 months later, not 2 months before, but exactly when I need it, every single time without fail. And that's one of the ways that I know when I'm doing right and when I'm doing good. Because if I'm not, if I veer off track, and I'm human, folks, I do that every once in a while, then things don't show up and things go wrong. And I know that I'm off track and I got to get myself back on track and I have to sit down and look at the fork in the road again and find out why it is that I'm on the wrong road and I need to go back to the fork and go on the other road. And I never fail to do that because I've learned my lessons the hard way, ladies and gentlemen. I listen to divine providence. I know that it's there and I know that it works. I know that God is real. And while God doesn't whisper in my ear, He certainly gives me signals that are unmistakable in my life. Well, I'm going to take your calls for the rest of the hour. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I don't care what it is. The number is 520-333-4578. And I'd like to know a few things. One, I'd like to know if you've been to the website and what you think about it, and if you have any suggestions. And remember, we're just beginning it. I mean, it's barely started, and we have quite a bit of stuff on there, but it's nothing really compared to what we have planned. I would also like to know, if you're listening on shortwave, where you are in the country and how is the reception on your radio? Because I got to make some big decisions here concerning WRMI pretty soon. They've been promising us a new antenna would be online like forever, and they keep telling me 2 weeks, and I'm getting sick and tired of it because there still ain't no new antenna online. Not that I can tell anyway. And from what I understand, their strength of their transmitter has gone from 50,000 watts down to about 1 kilowatt, which is almost nothing. And I realize they've had problems and they've had lightning strikes, but I also realize that I've been sticking with them and seeing them through this for a long time and paying full ticket for the broadcast hour that we're on WRMI. And folks, we have no money to be doing this kind of fooling around. If we're paying for a service, we need the service. We need the power. We need the antenna. We need to get out there. And the new antenna was supposed to be aimed in a different direction, which would greatly increase the audience that we need. And, you know, they were supposed to have everything repaired, fixed, online, everything by now. In fact, a long, long time ago, the things kept happening. And I realized that things can happen. So I need reception reports from those of you listening on shortwave, wherever you're at, if you can hear this broadcast. And if you can't, nobody calls from shortwave, I'll know that we're not getting out to anybody. So the number is 520-333-4578. You can talk about anything you want. If you're listening on shortwave, I need a reception report. And if you've been to the website, I need to know what you think about it, all that kind of stuff. 520-333-4578. I'm going to begin a little countdown here. I'm not going to tell you how long I'm going to count down, but I'm watching the seconds on the clock. And if I don't get a call by the time that expires, I will go off the air and go to bed like I've done in the past. When people don't call when we open up the phone lines here, simply because this is a joint participation effort. And that's the way it's got to be. Whenever I don't take calls, I get all these letters from people asking me why I never take calls from the listening audience. And when I do take calls, you got to do this, all this warm-up and all this stuff before somebody gets up enough courage to actually make the call. It's unbelievable. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Wayne, Texas.
Wayne, you need to talk a lot louder.
All righty.
Put that telephone right in front of your mouth and talk louder.
All righty. I haven't been able to talk to you for a while. My schedule's been crazy, but I've been catching in, recording it, but I'm catching off the satellite. I can't remember your frequency on shortwave. If you'll give me that, I'll see if I can pick it up here, too.
Okay, it's 9.955 megahertz.
Yeah, that looks familiar now that I see it, but I couldn't think of it for nothing in the world.
Yeah, it's
website yet. I'm not on the net right now, but I'll be getting back on in the next few days.
Okay.
I'm trying to get on Arrow.
On what?
OLS.
No, I don't know anything about that. What is it?
It's one of the servers. My son is in Virginia, and that's who he has the service with, and I've been trying to find it, but I can't locate him on the net. And I'm not real swift with the computer, so I'm sure it's something I'm not doing right. The reason I'm not getting them, but
well, just keep trying, and eventually you'll learn. You know, you've either got a bad line or a really low voice. You've got to talk louder.
I'm a little hoarse.
That's better.
I'm a little hoarse, and I have heard complaints from this telephone line. I don't know what the problem is, but do have a problem getting volume off of it. I enjoyed what you started out with this evening about the money situation. I contacted Mr. Stevenson and got this
money situation tonight?
No, well, not the money situation, but the fact that we don't own any of this stuff that we pay for with this funny money that they've given us.
Oh, it's true. If you don't pay for something in lawful money, you don't own it. The state does.
Right.
Because you pay for something with a debt. You can't pay off a debt with a debt.
Can't pound it in their head. Every time I pass this green stuff across the counter to somebody, they get a thumbnail sketch of the situation. They just laugh
That's because they've lost their sense of reality a long time ago. They're living in a fantasy world where they think it's okay because, well, everybody accepts it. They don't understand that there's going to be a time to pay the dues.
You are so right. You are so right. Did I say Jacobson a while ago? I don't think I said that, but Jacobson is the man that does the...
I think you're talking about...
Stephen Jacobson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real nice fellow. I talked to him and sent him a note and got both his audio tapes, even though I had taped off your program. I don't mind. I've passed that out. I've lost count.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing it.
I had hoped that by this time I would have a low-power transmitter going, but run into problems and haven't been able to get the tower down yet. But it's still in the works, and if we can get it put together, we're certainly going to do it.
Good for you. Yeah, these thousands of low-power FM stations have sprung up all across the country.
I understand that.
And nobody is going to silence them. Nobody.
Very good. You keep up the good work, sir. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Good
night. And thank you for calling. I hope we get a little more volume on the next caller. It's really tough when I have to turn up the volume here because this speakerphone is right in front of the microphone. And when I turn up the volume here to make up for the low volume of the caller, then it severely amplifies my voice and we're totally out of whack and I'm going off the edge of the BU meter. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Tom from California. How are you?
Hi, Tom. Can you talk a little louder, please?
Yeah, I sure can. How's that?
That's much better.
Okay. I haven't visited your website because I'm not into computers, but I had a question I'd like to ask you that you can help me with.
Sure.
In the Constitution, the Seventh Amendment, it says, according to the rules of common law. Now, I've been looking around for a book of rules on common law. Do you know where anything is available on that?
I've got a whole bunch of them in my library, but... You know, right off the top of my head, I can't come off with names and authors. No, you have to look for them.
Okay, well, here in California, our libraries have been severely neutered. I don't think you'll find anything in them older than 10 years old.
That's because there's a big common law movement in the state of California and in the state of Arizona and other western states, and they have stripped the libraries of reference material to make it difficult for us.
Extremely difficult. Well, I guess I'll have to keep searching the used bookstores then.
Yeah, but you know what? It's going over everybody's head out there. Aren't there newspaper articles? And isn't Ted Koppel and Dan Rathernot and all these other communist news network mouthpieces, talking heads, always telling us that there's nothing to this common law stuff?
Oh, of course they're telling us nothing to this common law stuff. Because, but you just... anytime you bring it up, everybody wants to run and hide.
But you just said it's part of the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution for the United States of America.
Yeah, Bill, but I'll tell you something that, I don't know, when I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, I was standing with about 250 other people, and it was probably the proudest day of my life. I felt the American pride start to swell up inside of me. I felt tears coming to my eyes. But what became the happiest day of my life, then became the saddest day of my life, is as I looked around, I doubted there was less than two people of that 250 I could have an intelligent conversation about the Constitution with.
I doubt very seriously. If most of them had ever seen a copy, much less read it.
Well, you know, I'm looking around and I see a lot of good police officers that every day violate the Constitution for the United States of America in their actions. And I watch all these public officials do the same thing, and I'm a little bit sick and tired of people holding up their hand and swearing that they'll defend it. I wish for once they'd tell the truth and say, I solemnly swear or affirm that all federal orders do whatever I'm told, no matter what it is, against the Constitution or otherwise. And at least admit to themselves the truth.
Oh, yes. I swear that I will be a good Nazi jackbooted thug and do whatever I'm told by my SS superiors and the hell with the Constitution for the United States of America. That's really what they do.
Well, that's exactly what they do. You know, I've been reading, I've been picking up old books at old bookstores, and I've been reading a lot on the Civil War. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot different than my teachers told me here in California.
Yeah. Also, I want to make this little disclaimer here, because I must do this, because it's true. Not all police officers and not all public officials are guilty of this, but most of them fall into that category.
Oh, no, I would say that not all of them. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good men in police departments out there. The only problem is they're constitutionally illiterate.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Not only is that true, but they're told in the police academies, ladies and gentlemen, they're actually told... that the civilian public is their enemy. They're told not to associate with anybody outside their department. They, you know, this builds friction in communities. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. You wanted to report on how far you're getting out?
Yeah. Where are you at?
I'm on the west coast, Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa? Are you listening on shortwave?
No, I know on FM. I didn't know if you wanted to know that or not.
Oh, you're listening on FM of one of our low-power affiliates?
I couldn't even tell you. I never even heard of them. I just tuned in to you, like, early this week.
Uh-huh.
And you're the Gerson. You guys are the best.
Oh, well, thanks.
Oh, man, you guys point out just to the point about everything you guys are saying I've been thinking about. And it's actually, you know, about the government. All this, and you know in your head what's going on when you finally find somebody that relates to it.
Well, some people know what's going on. Other people know something's wrong, but they haven't got the slightest idea what's going on. They don't know they're losing their rights because they never know what rights they had in the first place.
I can't believe it because this is in the last, you know, few years I started realizing what's going on. And with the secret government and all this one world order crap. And you tell people, because I live in a real liberal area, you know,
yeah.
Like San Francisco.
Uh-huh. They don't want to hear it, do they?
Oh, they cover it up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. But you know what you got to do? Spread the word and tell people, look it up for yourself and verify it.
Well, that's what we do. In fact, our standard admonition. Yes, I don't care.
You know, you speak the truth, and you're a true patriot. And it's, I can't believe, you know, I've actually, the people that call your show that I've heard are actual true American patriots. And it's good to hear it and know that there's actually other people out there that don't think you're crazy.
Well, there's a lot of us, as a matter of fact. But you see, we don't control the media, so the public doesn't get to hear our viewpoints. We are blacklisted from television, radio, and everything else, unless we create the media ourselves.
And it goes directly to Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Directly to Bill Clinton, and maybe a president before him. I'm not sure. You know, I can't prove that. You know. Administration before.
It's been going on for quite a while, but Bill Clinton is the most obviously upfront communist, Marxist, treasonous president that we've ever had.
You just hit it on the head.
It's the truth.
You know, and I appreciate you taking the time out to take my call, and I heard you say you go to bed sometime, but you believe I'm listening. Said if you don't get no call, so you know you got an audience.
I appreciate that, but yes, I'm not going to waste my time. If I'm going to go on the air and open up the lines, because I get all these letters from people, you know, saying, you know, how come you're always giving us information, but you never listen to what we have to say, and I open the phone, and then all of a sudden nobody calls, well, I go to bed, yeah.
You know, there's nothing else to listen to but your show, but we only get it for a little while out here, but it's good to hear it.
Well, thank you.
It's good to hear it. Keep it up, and God bless you.
You're in Santa Rosa, California?
Exactly, yeah.
What's the frequency on your dial?
It's like 88 FM.
88 FM, okay.
Yeah, something like that. And it comes in crystal clear, too.
Oh, yeah, it will.
That's like 88, yeah, it comes in good. But you're a breath of fresh air, man.
That's one of our 700 low-power affiliate FM stations.
Oh, cool, because, I just started recently, getting aware of stuff in the last couple of years, and to hear the actual truth being spoken instead of seeing this talking head on TV at 5:30 or whatever, Dan Rather and
spouting Goebbels propaganda.
Oh, it's directly monitored from Billy Boy Clinton on down.
Oh, I think Hitler's somewhere telling these guys what to do.
If not, I'm sure the Hitlerites, the same. You know, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, they learned an awful lot from the Nazis.
Nazis
were socialists, remember that. They were not right-wing, they were socialists. Nazi means National German Socialist Workers' Party.
Okay, the NSDAP, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I know, I admit that I should have, in school, learned a hell of a lot more than what I did. But I'm just, you know, getting aware now at 34, actually at 32, 31, of what's going on in our country. And you point these out to your friends, people you know a long time, and they look at you like you're crazy.
Well, that's because they're lost in fantasy land.
Yeah, they see this, they get their, it's fed to them through these liberal, you know, controlled newspapers.
Yeah. You know where they really are? They're in Disneyland, and the park is closed.
Oh, they've got the boat in the driveway, they got a little money in the bank, things are going along okay.
They think.
Okay, but now... You got this,
24-hour day, 365 days a year, secret society, which I don't know where it all starts. You hear so much different stuff, from the Freemasons to the Bilderberg.
Well, here's their own words. Let me tell you in their own words. This is from the Rosicrucian Digest. The membership of the present society of Rosicrucians is not confined to Masons. It admits both men and women to membership and provides studies in all branches of esoteric, spiritual, and mental teaching, healing, and unfoldment. It preaches a positive gospel of affirmation, constructive effort, personal responsibility, and moral accountability. For those who are ready, correspondence, lessons in the Rosicrucian wisdom, philosophy, and all branches of esoteric, spiritual, and mental science, healing, and unfoldment are available to earnest students on the voluntary contribution basis. Society of Rosicrucians is the incorporation of the Societas Rosicruciana in America, SRIA, the Latin name by which the Rosicrucian Society of America is sometimes, and in fact more popularly known. The Society of Rosicrucians is a lineal descendant and, in America, the branch of the society first formulated by Christian Rosenkreutz, the esoteric pseudonym of a spiritually minded monk who was born A.D. 1378 and died in 1484. After extensive travels, during which he garnered the fabrics of still more ancient schools, he formed his first, second, and third circles. These circles were first known to the Fratres as our Honorable Society, and later became known as the fraternity Our Fratres of the Rose, Our Rosy Cross. From this beginning, the Rosicrucian work was introduced into England by Michael Mayer in 1620, later 1646, developed in London by Elias Ashmole, William Lilly, Thomas, and George Wharton. And if you trace the lineage of the Lilly family, who owns Lilly Pharmaceuticals, you'll find it goes directly back to this William Lilly, and a whole bunch more here. Anyway, we don't have time to get into all of this, but that's just a little blurb from the Rosicrucian Digest. I could go to the Masonic New Age magazine and give you the same blurb in their own words of where they came from and all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, it goes directly against what people here in the United States know, that Christianity, basically, you know, it flies right in the face of that.
It's atheism. It's secular humanism is what they believe in.
God and country and guns is the way I believe in.
Good.
But anyway, your name is Mr. Cooper, correct?
Yes.
Okay, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I'll tune in every night, man.
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Well, that was a nice call, and he's listening on one of our affiliate low-power FM stations. Boy, I accidentally hung up on this person, whoever it was. This button is very sensitive. I certainly didn't mean to hang up on you. If you're listening, please call back. 520-333-4578. Every once in a while, my finger gets a little heavy on this really sensitive phone button, and that happens, regrettably. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Kevin in Carson City, Nevada. I'm one of your rebroadcasters.
Oh, hi, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
How big is your audience base?
Oh, I don't know. I play the message every now and then to ask people to call in, and I think in the land of people hooking their radios up to cable TV and digital radios, I don't know too many people that are, you know, scanning around the dial anymore, because I've never had anybody call me. But I'm covering about a 10-block radius of this small community.
Uh-huh. Are you on 24 hours a day?
No, just when I come home from work and when I turn on your show, when I turn on the satellite.
Yeah, that's why. Nobody knows you're there. The way that to be successful is you have to be broadcasting 24 hours a day. You need to get a CD player on some CDs.
Oh, and just let it go continuous?
Just let it go continuous.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to move back down south to Vegas, and I'll drop you a message on email, because I'll take my name off the list, and I'll when I get reset up again.
Okay.
Anyway, my question is, maybe a year ago, you ran some shows in... I know your background is photography, and what do you know of Olympus XA? I'm looking for a really, really fine, manually controlled, small 35mm camera.
Oh, those are hard to find. What I would recommend, if you really want a fine camera, they're very expensive. I don't know how much you can afford. But if you really want a very fine camera, get one of the really super manually operated rangefinders from Germany, if you can afford one. If you can't afford one of those, then Minolta makes a good manually operated a camera, 35mm camera. Canon used to make one. I don't know if they still do or not. It was called the AT. Nikon still has a fully manual camera because, you know, professional photographers have to have a manually operated camera because there's some photographs that you just cannot get unless you make certain manual adjustments that you can't do with these great electronic wizard cameras without going through a bunch of special programming or stuff like that, which nobody wants to learn.
Right. I've got a full feature of contacts with all Zeiss lenses, but what I'm looking for something is something that I can keep in the vest pocket or shirt pocket or something like that. And I've heard of that Olympus XA, and I'm just wondering if that's something worth looking at. They want about $200 for those if you can find it.
I don't know, but I know that Olympus makes good cameras, and they used to make a real tiny camera with a sliding door that went over the lens.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one of those. It's a stylus. If you can find a used stylus, that's exactly what you need.
Okay.
Those are really good cameras.
It's been in the back of my mind. I thought I'd just call in tonight. And
what's good about a rangefinder is they're silent, totally silent.
Well, that's on the top of the list, and I'll start looking around for that.
Yeah, and sometimes you need silence when you're taking pictures.
Okay, well, I'll let you get to that. That was the other thing. I got your letter here. I thought tonight was a rerun, but then I've heard people referencing tonight. I figured you're on the air live tonight because the last letter I got from you says that I believe your evening show is a rerun.
No, the evening show is live, and we don't do the afternoon show anymore.
Oh, then I've got a real old letter.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Actually, it's not real old. We just dropped the afternoon show today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. So this is live and direct.
Yeah, live and direct.
Okay, thanks a lot.
It's really me you're talking to.
We'll see you later.
Thank you for calling.
You bet. Bye.
520-333-457. I forgot to ask him. He was talking about email, so I know he's on the computer. I forgot to ask him about the website. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
This is Walt from Michigan.
Hi, Walt.
I wondered if perhaps you got an envelope I sent you.
Walt, now just think about something.
Pardon?
What do I know about you right now? I know you're from Michigan, and your name's Walt, and you want to know if I get a letter from you, and I get thousands of letters a week?
I know. Dumb question. I sent you Lee Harvey Oswald travel orders.
Got it today.
Okay. Is that of any interest to you at all?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you've got the information there. You can get back with me on that. Just to reemphasize, I don't know if I can get in touch with the guy who gave that to me or not. He's in a different part of the country. Last I heard, he wasn't too good a shape. So.
Well, you see, there's so many phony and fake documents floating around there. We have to get in touch with him, and we have to get an affidavit sworn and notarized from him that is a true and correct copy of an original document or the original document itself.
I thought about that, too. I know very little about travel orders, only the few that I've gotten.
Yeah, well, you see, I can sit down at my computer and make up travel orders for William Jefferson Clinton to move his Oval Office to the Kremlin. That's how easy it is to do.
Yeah. The chuckle I got was, like I mentioned in the letter, was a discussion I had with him. And I know it's not verified, but him talking about trying to help Mr. Oswald shoot and saying he, remember the words he used, he couldn't hit the inside of a barn, or the broadside of a barn if he was on the inside.
Yeah.
Anyway, I listen to you in a program all the time, and someday, somehow, I'd like to get to meet you. Are you thinking of coming up to Michigan again for that nonsense in Lansing with their crazy mayor there?
No, I'm going to New York, of all places. Can you believe this? I've been invited to speak at a major New York college, which is in New York, by the Black student body.
I can imagine that.
Blacks are becoming more educated and more awake than any other racial group in this country, because they have been so mistreated throughout their history in this country, that they're trying to do everything they can to find out the truth. And so while some of them are misguided, many of them are on the right track, and many more of them, percentage-wise, than any other racial group in this country, I can assure you.
I'm not surprised. I remember during the O.J. Simpson nonsense, having a discussion with a black gentleman about that. I told him it didn't really surprise me, and to me what it meant was that what it showed is that black population is ahead of the curve compared to the white population.
Yes, they are, but they've had a tremendous incentive to get ahead of the curve.
Absolutely.
And they're interested in finding out the truth. They want to know the truth. They want to know how to really be free. And not just for them, for everybody. The ones who are doing this...
Most of the population is not interested in the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, too. I just like to be laughed at. That's the way it is. I just want to give you, attaboy and keep up the good work. And like I say, someday I hope to meet you personally.
Yeah. Well, just remember that a pig farmer, when he's amongst all those thousands of pigs that are getting ready to go to slaughter, is oinked out consistently. Just oinked at, oinked at, oinked at. If he let it get on his nerves, so don't let it get on your nerves. All the cattle out there that are at you are fixing to go to slaughter. So don't, feel sorry for them. Don't let them get to you.
Well, the other part of it, too, is living in a real Christian family and everything. A lot of times I get the side of a render unto Caesar.
You need to talk louder, my friend. I don't even have you on the VU meter now.
Oh, excuse me. You can't hear me well?
Got to speak louder.
Okay, sorry about that. Being in a Christian family, talking with a lot of Christians, absolutely turned the back on this kind of talk. And that's really sad to see.
That's because Christianity is no longer Christianity, it's consumerism.
It is.
Now, people are not Christians going by the teachings of Jesus Christ, they are consuming religion that feels good.
That's right. I'll let you go, Mr. Cooper.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Put up, please.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you find a church that tells the truth, people won't go to it. They want to go to the Crystal Cathedral and hear Reverend Schuller tell them about possibility thinking, how they can get rich by changing their mental attitude to reject anything that might be negative. I know one woman who followed that advice. She didn't pay the bills on her house in so long because it was negative to read those bills. She lost her house. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. How are you tonight?
Good.
I'm monitoring you by way of satellite tonight.
Uh-huh. I need you to talk louder. Need you to talk louder, please.
Okay. I'm unfortunately not receiving any signal via shortwave.
Uh-huh.
And I'm able to pick you up through satellite. And what you brought up this evening is something that I've been working on through my studies as to real...
You're dropping your voice back down. Keep it up there, please.
Okay. I've been working on my studies as to ownership of your real property.
Uh-huh.
And once again, to get any real allodial title, no one knows what I'm talking about.
No, they've forgotten all about it.
Even attorneys don't even know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to show them in Black's Law what allodial title is.
Yeah.
Now, is there any other way to instigate this particular ownership of the I don't want to say certificate, but would give you right to the property?
You want an allodial patent title is what you want.
Right. You want, how do you achieve that? You have to go to
the
court?
Well, we haven't got enough time tonight to talk about it, and I don't teach those things anyway. I do it for myself and my family.
Okay.
I know many other people who do it, but I don't teach it. You know why I don't teach these things? Because so many people, you'll teach them something, and they want to learn it, they say, and then go out and apply it. But yet, what they really want is a shortcut. They want you to give them a form that they can fill out to solve all their problems.
Well,
it really requires years of study. It requires a firm grounding in the law, beginning with the common law, because that's the foundation of the law of this nation. And you need to get some practice in court doing some things before you try to apply anything serious, because a lot of the stuff in court is procedure. The moment you hire an attorney, you've declared yourself legally incompetent, The attorney is an officer of the court
That's correct.
Is instructed to act in the best interest of the court and of the state, not in your best interest, even though he's milking you for every penny that you have. The law says that you have rights only if you claim those rights and actively and aggressively defend those rights. The moment you stop doing either one of those two things, you lose those rights and have no rights by law.
And that's pretty scary.
That is pretty scary, but it's the truth. That's why you have to know the law, and you have to represent yourself.
Right, and that's what I've been working on, and I think I'm getting there. It's taking a while. I wish things would go faster, but luckily I'm in an area where I do have a law library.
Yeah.
And I'm able to at least visit it and, you know, do some of my research there. Mm-hmm. So maybe sometime, maybe you can kind of bring up more about Melodial. As to your experience.
I've done several hours on this stuff in the past.
Oh, I know. I've been recording it and writing it down every night I listen to you. And I appreciate everything that you're doing, and God bless you and your family, and keep it happening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, folks, I don't dare teach people any of this stuff, because what they want is to get just enough where they think they know it all. The truth is they know very little, if anything, unless they've been studying it for years. And then they try to take a shortcut. They get themselves in trouble. Guess who they blame for their wanting it quick and now rather than working for it the right way? They blame whoever tried to teach them that they didn't really listen to. Good evening. You're on the air. Hi, Wayne. Got to speak louder again.
Okay. I checked out on the shortwave, and we are getting zero.
Okay.
Not a bit.
Thank you. In that case, I won't pay this month's bill for shortwave.
Now I'm in the eastern corner of Texas.
Because you're the only one that's called that's even gone to your radio, turned it on to listen. Nobody else is apparently listening on shortwave, probably because they can't hear. And if that's true, then they're not going to get a payment from me this month. And if they drop me off the air, that's fine, because apparently I'm not on the air anyway.
I tried to. It's a lot easier. It's, you know, you move around with a little shortwave, but I gave it up because I never could get a reasonable signal, and it was so much better on the satellite.
Well, they were doing fine for a while, and we were until lightning hit their tower and transmitter and sort of wiped them out. But that's, you know, that's been a long time. They've had plenty of time to repair everything and get us up to regular. Power and the transmission. And so if they're not doing that, they just won't get any more money from the hour of the time. And if you're listening there at WRMI, I mean it. I'm serious. If I'm going to pay you, you're going to give me the service I'm paying for. So go and tell that to whoever you got to tell it to, and tell them to call me tomorrow. Thank you for calling.
All right.
And thank you for checking that out for me. And the fact that nobody else has called who's listening on shortwave, sort of, and haven't for since this happened, sort of tells me that nobody's listening on shortwave because they can't hear anything on shortwave. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Steve from up in Michigan. I dialed you up, and your nil copy on shortwave up here as well.
Okay. Were you able to get me before this lightning strike happened?
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
Depending on the atmospheric conditions, but it was always iffy and always QRM.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially up here in Michigan.
Yeah, well, it really covered the East Coast and some states west of the Mississippi River. And some people even reported it getting west of the Mississippi River, including some people in Arizona, which surprised me.
Well, I use a Kenwood receiver with some fairly big amateur antennas. So if it's out there, generally we can pull at least something out of there. And I mean, it's just nil, not there at all.
Okay.
On your earlier comments as far as those equalization inspections,
yeah.
I got one I'll pass along for you. Our county bureaucracy up here has a part-time FEMA director, and guess what his other part-time job is?
What's that?
The building inspector, man.
Oh, boy, and that's the guy that needs to know who has guns,
yep,
and who has food storage and all that kind of stuff.
Yep, so they're coming at that in all different directions, but totally supports your hypothesis.
Well, only a fool will let them in their house without a warrant.
Man,
somebody comes and knocks on your door. I'm the inspector. You got to let me in. Baloney. Get off my property right now. Don't ever come back unless you've got a lawful warrant signed by a judge based upon a sworn affidavit of probable cause that there has been a crime committed. And it's got to specify exactly what is to be searched and what is to be seized.
Yeah, and they got that all monkeyed around, too, as far as shortcuts there. But
not to me. They have not amended the Constitution for the United States of America. It spells out what the government is limited to, and it tells me what my rights are. I will protect my rights with the force of arms if they force me to do that. And if I die in the protection of my rights, I'll be the only free American in this world.
There you go, sir. Carry on, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye now.
A lot of people don't understand what I just said. If you're a Christian, being killed, doing something lawful and right, sets you free from this world and opens the pearly gates, my friend. But, you know, most of you don't understand that either. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Ron up in Michigan.
Hi, Ron.
I've not been able to get you on the shortwave up here at all. And I did have a question. I hear you talking about your website, but I don't have a address for it.
http://harvest-trust.org. That's
okay, harvest-dash, was that?
Yes, not underlined, dash.
Trust.
Yeah, http://harvest-trust.org, or org for short.
Okay, I got that, by golly.
Okay.
I listen to you as often as I can, and I, the things you're uncovering for people is fantastic. I do believe in everything you're saying. I do check out most of what I hear from you.
Well, that's good, because I don't want you to believe what I'm saying. I don't ever want anybody to believe what I'm saying. I want you to check it out. And if you find out I'm wrong, I want you to tell me so I can get on the air and correct myself.
Right.
But if you find out that I'm right, I want you to take that information and share it with other people.
That's true. I wanted to say, you know, they talk about the people here. I get very upset with people when they talk about their voting rights. Our communist leader here, known as Governor Engler, a couple of years ago, we had a bill come through on for us to vote on about changing our sales tax from a 4% to a 6%. And we could either vote on that or they're going to do it their way. I said, well, why would you even want to bother to vote on that thing? You know, because that's not a choice. You know, it's not. It's like putting one guy up for president, and if you vote for him.
But you don't have the right to vote anyway. The Constitution says you have the right to vote, doesn't it? But when you go to vote, what do? You have to fulfill certain requirements. You have to fill out a form. You have to give your name and address. And you have to state under penalty of perjury that you are a citizen of the United States.
Right.
Are you a citizen of the United States?
No.
I'm not either. I'm a citizen of the United States of America,
there
not the corporate United States.
It's like Slick Willie when he took his oath of office.
Yeah. But if I put down I'm a citizen of the United States of America, they won't let me vote.
That's right.
And if I refuse to put down my name and address and all this other stuff, they won't let me vote. But the Constitution says I have a right to vote.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. You see?
Well, Bill, keep up the good work. I do appreciate being able to get through to you. I've tried several times. It's the first time I ever made it.
Yeah. So, anyway, I can't vote because I refuse to make a perjurious statement.
Well, that's true.
And to say that I'm a citizen of the United States is perjury, because I'm not.
I can't pay income taxes, so they can't find the right form for
it. It's not the Constitution for the United States. It's the Constitution for the United States of America.
Amen.
Small u.
Well, you keep up the good work, Bill. I know you're running short on time. And
we've got to go right now.
God bless you and yours.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. And may God, in his infinite wisdom, save this republic. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Is the voice of freedom. Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time. Classic radio like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by.